Hey, everybody, time for another Code Pen Radio, perhaps the most special Code Pen Radio we've ever did. We got the whole gang here to celebrate launch and talk about the launch of our 2.0 editor. I know on this podcast, all you super fans know all about it because we've been talking about it for a while. It's kind of why we brought back the podcast after our hiatus, but this is official now. God dang it, we're launched and you love it. So we got the whole gang here. We got Rach. Hi, Rach.
Hi.
Yeah, we have Alex. Hi, Alex.
Hey.
Steven.
Hey.
And Marie.
Hey, everybody.
Nah, that's great. That's Marie's classic. Have you ever not said that? Hey, everybody, it's so nice. It's like perfectly timed. I mean, now that you've memorized all
of that's her hamburger.
I believe so. And the point of all this is to get us all together, have a little fun, but more specifically, I had everybody pick out their favorite feature of the new thing. So you can be listening to the show and be learning about these features. Maybe you already know the features, but now you're going to know which CodePen employee thinks it's their favorite feature. I don't think we had any overlap, too. We didn't have to duke it out over anything, as far as I know. So this will be very interesting. We're just going to each go for it and then possibly heckle each other about our wrong choices or whatever it is. but I feel like Marie really deserves to go first on this one because she even crafted a totally unshareable meme about, I mean, maybe it's shareable, but just
there's only one F word on it.
It was just for us, though, which is great. I'll describe the meme. I don't even know if I can. You describe your own meme.
I'll describe the meme. I made the meme. I can describe it. Okay, so those of us... Well, let me just first say what the feature is. My feature is versions. My feature is versions. Every single one of you knows that I have been asking for versions since, as I have proof from going through our Slack... the week I got hired in 2015. So I have been CodePen community. I have been trying for you to get this feature since 2015. And I have pushed it in DMs and our general channel and every single opportunity I had to talk to an engineer, I would buttonhole them and tell them, hey, listen, I want you to get with me on this. We need to do versions. I got to tell the founders, we got to do versions. I'm telling the founders, we're doing versions. And I made a little meme using the share zones I'm right, which is an absolute classic. It's a skeleton who just looks like completely free of all worries because they have been proven right about something. And over top of that, I just laid, how many of these? There's like 14 of them.
10 or so.
Different examples of me talking to people about how we needed versioning. I am a very strong believer in the fact that developers need to be able to roll back versions. And I have believed this for my entire career.
I like your emoji usage is strong as here. You use the little megaphone emoji. Remember when the clapping in between individual words, that was hot for a while?
I used everything. I used every trick in the book, everybody. And it is finally here. We finally have it. It is part of CodePen 2.0. And I'm so, so, so proud of this team for finally doing what I told them to.
First time in 11 years, I think.
Yep.
To be honest.
Well, we knew you were right, Marie, because, you know, as we mentioned, I think we did a podcast on versions just not so long ago, but some of what we talked about was that, like, it was thought about from the beginning. Alex joked before we even started, is like, I'm kind of glad we didn't do it too early because we are just so dumb. And then we would have screwed it up.
We would have done it wrong.
We weren't dumb. Yeah. We definitely lack the wisdom that we do today. So
there you go. Sorry. Yeah. A little tempered version of that. right. But it really was. I remember like it being talked about that way. But sometimes this like developer philosophy stuff goes over my head until I get it, you know? Like Alex is big on this type of stuff. It's got to be baked in from the beginning, you know? The same is true of collab and things like that, like where you cannot just bolt it stuff on later because you're just super going to regret it. Well, that's come true like a lot of times. Good, Ben, and versions is true. And in fact, once we get down to mine, we'll see how crucial it was to everything that 2.0 is. But what is it like? How do you do it? What does us having versions mean for the people that use CodePen?
Well, the thing that's really nice about it is that it is very, very simple. You just open up a panel and the past versions of your pen are there. You can just roll back to one. You can browse through them. It's similar to things that you see in like Notion or Google Docs. Very intuitive, very easy to use. Stephen and Rach put a ton of work into the design and implementation of that. And it's exactly what you'd want in CodePen. It's not too complicated. It's not weird like Git or something like that. It's just straightforward, easy to use, completely awesome. I have used it myself already. Even though generally my pens are relatively simple, I have rolled back a version even myself.
Have you really? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
How long would you say it takes to roll back a version? Does it have to think and calculate a lot and takes a long time?
Not on the one that I rolled back on, but I don't know.
It takes 0 seconds.
It was teeing you up. It's instant.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, mine was instant, but my pen had two emojis in it. What can I say? Sometimes.
Reminds me of one of those features where you should intentionally make it slower. I remember back in the WooFoo days. Remember that one, Alex, when you signed up, it had all this, it had a whole like movie it went through kind of, where it was like, provisioning
assembling WooFoo powers. Yeah. I remember that.
And
well,
it was like 10, 12 seconds or something. It took a while, but we absolutely
We were going for suspense in those days.
Yeah. It should almost do that.
That's what we were like going for.
Cogs should be turning. It should make it look like we're doing a lot of work because we are. It just happens to be really fast. Anyway, we're not actually going to do that.
Well, the whole thing is a nice fast experience, but yeah, my version rollback was a pretty good one.
So you rolled back,
too.
And why did you want it so bad? You wanted it on behalf of users, clearly.
Why did I want it? Yeah, because I mean, from speaking to users, from my first week in support, people were like, "Hey, I accidentally did whatever, and I want to roll back my version." And when the answer was, "Oh, we don't have that for you," I was like, "Oh no, this is terrible." So. I pushed for it ever since.
I think our suggestion was to control Z if they hadn't tabbed out of that tab.
Was actually suggested to me a couple of times, and I had to send that in emails to people a couple of times.
It's a little embarrassing to say that's the best we could have done.
Yeah.
Now you're all set. Listen to the podcast about it for more details on it. There's some fancy stuff we do, a thing called Roll Up that's pretty interesting and stuff, but which is kind of on your behalf. That's for both of us, really. But we don't have time to get super duper deep into it. So congratulations, Marie. Your versions is a killer feature and you got it. It must be very satisfying to respond to somebody that's like, "I lost my work." And be like, "No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. We got
Although
versions
you do
got
to be pro." A lot of times we talk about, yeah, them's the breaks. I mean, as I'm like, we're working on marketing and stuff for 2.0, I'm barely even mentioning because a lot of the things like this are just our pro features. Not everything that we're talking about is, but this one is. So rock and roll.
It makes it worth it to be pro.
Say it again.
It makes it worth it to be pro.
Steven is up next with a feature that is really awesome, but was a surprise pick for me. So what is it, Steven?
Oh, well, there's so many great ones to choose from. Files are obvious, like just the ability to make pens flexible and do kind of whatever with them, make full little websites. Like that's awesome. That's groundbreaking. People are going to use that. But for me, one of the best features is the Omnibar and kind of everything that goes into setting up the Omnibar, because that feeds into like how you search for things within the editor. It feeds into how you activate things with keyboard shortcuts and all that. There's like this whole system behind it all that kind of makes the editor work seamlessly from a UI perspective. Mm-hmm. So the Omnibar sets up search indexes for your files. It sets it up for blocks and settings. Like you can type in, you know, just little keywords and instantly get to part of the UI that normally takes, you know, 4 or 5 clicks and knowing where you're going. So that's kind of a game changer in terms of access.
And what is it like really basically for the users? It's like this.
It's just a little search box at the top that basically accesses everything within the pen and the UI. Mm-hmm. So you can hit Command K or Command O or Command P. If you're used to any of those for accessing like a command palette kind of idea. And from there, you can search for your files or settings or different commands that do things throughout the UI, like deploying your pen or saving, all that kind of stuff is accessible from the Omnibar.
Yeah. didn't it? It feels like it became part of certain computer users. I'm surely developers are a strong use case for it, but like lots of apps have this. I mean, I saw like WordPress put it in recently, but certainly like Slack has it, and GitHub has it, and Chrome DevTools has it, and certainly like VS Code has it. You're just so used to being like, I just want to bring up the thing that can do all the other things. Because it used to be that.
Yeah, and it's also a default way we use Mac OS X, you know, like it's just become like a default way to use an app.
Right. Spotlight and Raycast are very similar. Yeah.
Because it used to be like, I was almost like jealous of power users, you know, like, oh man, if I could only memorize every keyboard thing, be this real keyboard warrior, never even touch my mouse. That always seemed like out of reach for me. Not out of reach, but like, I just didn't do it, you know? Whereas this makes me feel more powerful, these apps that have this, because I don't have to memorize the keyboard shortcuts. I memorize one keyboard shortcut and then I have access to all the other ones too. And it does try to teach you what the commands are. If you want to run the command or do the thing without using Omnibar, like fine, but like Omnibar is just as fast. So just get there. I do think it's cool. For a while I was thinking it's just commands. It's kind of like make private or whatever, change the view in some way, running. But like Stephen was saying, I do think that's really neat how you put more stuff in there. Like if you open it up and you just start typing like index.html, it knows that that's one of the files in your file system and just shoots you right to that too. Like that's a nice touch of that right there.
Yeah. If you got more than three pin files, like it's going to be a game changer for navigating around all those.
I also like the developer rigidity or like we only work this way. What am I trying to say? You know, like we didn't be like, well, we'll just, in this one case, we won't use the Omnibar. We'll just put in the keyboard shortcut to do a thing. We like never did that. We was like, it's gonna, if you want a keyboard shortcut, you have to register it through the thing that puts it available in the Omnibar. Like you can't do it any other way.
Yeah.
And that gave it the value that it had. Like it was impossible for us to work sloppily with it because it just, mm-hmm. it just needs to be worked that way. Well done. I believe that was your baby there for a while and it works great.
Yeah,
that's not why you picked it, though. Surely it's
no. It feeds into the whole UI and like how everything works together. So it's kind of a central piece to like what makes 2.0 feel good.
Yeah, and I mean, you worked on that for a while. I remember it's kind of receded into the background as far as development wise, but I remember that was like quite a few iterations for you to make that work and make it totally functional.
Yeah, early on in the design and build of the tool.
Lovely. Command, let's do it again. Command K, Command P, or Command Shift P.
Command K, Command P, Command O, Command Shift P will filter down to like command specific stuff if you're used to that from your editors.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because like VS Code has the like jump to file, but it also has run command and they're like slightly different, right? But we do it the same way. Okay, Alex is up. He picked the big one.
I mean, it's big in my mind. So I picked the compiler. Essentially, what I mean by that is the part of the system that parses your source code, makes sure that the links kind of figures out how files are linked, and builds the build steps for your pens, right? So just being able to use a real parser instead of like some regex thing where we kind of have an idea of what's going on was a game changer. You know, like for as long as we've been building pens for people and trying to help them out, there's always like all these obvious little bugs where maybe you link to a file that's incorrect or you link to it with a different file, like a name that's you think works but shouldn't. Or doesn't for whatever reason. Little things. Import maps is probably my favorite thing. Shout out to Steven for suggesting that, even though it was quite a bit of work. But things that enable us at CodePen behind the scenes to take code that people create and make sure that it just works, which is my absolute favorite. If I had to say any feature that I would want is that things just work on CodePen when you try them. And if they don't, we want to be able to help you, but we want to be able to help you with certainty. That's always been like a real problem. Whenever we apply some regex or do something, we'd miss a small detail. We would get into a weird feedback loop, and then you become obnoxious to the user. And there's a very fine line between like being helpful and then annoying the user because you're getting it wrong. And so having the compiler where you have certainty that like we know exactly what file you're linking to, where it's being linked from, and what order, the order of operations to run these blocks in, to me is just my absolute favorite feature, because it's not, it's, it works the same way for everyone, free and pro, but at the same time, it gives us certainty, and then we can start responding to common errors that people face, right? So before, people would say, well, every time some I do this, this bad thing happens, and we'd explain how to fix it. And now we have a system that fundamentally we can identify those issues and either suggest a fix and tell you explicitly, like, you created this error, or we can just automatically fix it. So it doesn't matter what you're doing. We're going to be 100% certain. We're not going to get into weird parts of the system where, like, maybe your website doesn't render and you don't know why and you don't understand why. We can actually start helping you with making sure that your website works, and you can just focus on making your webpage, not the million small little things that you do to make sure that everything is linked correctly and it's accessible, whatever it may be. And so it just really lays the foundation for us to continue doing that. And that is by far my favorite feature, like that we can do that with certainty.
Yeah. Do you have that feeling like it's just, we have the power now? Well, it's almost like we're not even using the power as much as we will in the future.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's just laying the foundation for that. So being able to make sure that everything works and renders, and hopefully when you come to CodePen, things just work. You don't even question it, and you don't necessarily need to know why. And to me, that is the ideal. You know, we'll point things out so that you learn along the way, but ideally, you can kind of choose whichever style you want to code in, and CodePen will help you get there. So
yeah. I can think of two great examples already that are already live on the site that have to do with this amazing parsing technology and how we understand the code that you're writing. One of them is because I worked on project conversion. We had this feature in projects where if you wanted to use React, it was like, fine, you have to turn it on specifically, which was weird. And then you had to, from this little drop-down menu, you had to tell us what your entry point file is. And you know what we did with that information? This is the only, like, for some of the only information that we did this for, we just threw it away. You just don't need it anymore because, I mean, we actually technically still have it. Don't think we actually threw it in the junk, but it doesn't matter anymore. You know what your entry point is? The compiler will figure it out. It doesn't matter. You don't have to tell us anymore.
Yeah, we know what your entry point is based on the code that you wrote. So it's like you are telling us, you just don't have to go out of your way to tell us something you've already told us by the what you coded in the editor. And that to me is just magical, right? Where you
really
don't
is.
Lose the context of what the user's doing. You go, oh, I understand what you're doing. And that's fundamentally what users want.
Yeah, we can just see by your code. It's kind of the same thing with I love this one. Let's say you're writing some JavaScript or you're looking at a library. In fact, our Slidevars library is just like this. In the documentation, it says, oh, you just import it like this, like you would an NPM dependency. We're not going to talk about import maps. That is actually extremely cool. Go listen to that podcast. But you type in like import Slidevars from Slidevars or whatever, like you would an NPM import. Okay, well, now you're in ESM land. And one thing that can happen is that you forget or didn't add type equals module to your script tag. And it might just not work. And you'd be like, why doesn't that work? Oh my God, like I cannot understand. It's a little bit of a silent error. You would see it in Chrome DevTools, but it doesn't pop up as a problem or something. It's just a runtime error. Well, we know it's going to be a runtime error. And the compiler is just like, it just fixes it. It doesn't even tell you it's fixing it. That's obviously what you want to do. And it just does it. And it's very satisfying to me. You cannot make this mistake. It just fixes it.
That's what's so magical about the compiler. Like that one simple line of code, import Slidevars from Slidevars, triggers so much that actually makes that code work in the preview right away without having to install things, add packages, make a build system to actually import that. No, we've got you covered. It's just one simple line that you're typing as you think.
That is right. That line does a lot of work on the compiler side. Pretty cool. Yeah, that's definitely the old beating heart of 2.0. Mine that I'm going to pick is deployment. which is, it's just, I'm just so excited about it. So any pen, any of them, you don't have to, it's not like some pens. You just open the sidebar. It's a little deployment thing, a little box with an arrow shooting up for deployment, and you click a button and it's deployed. It also takes 0 seconds, much like we're restoring a version, because we already have a version of your site built. You're looking at it in the preview right now. All we are doing is taking that version and just kind of marking it internally, making sure that this subdomain that we give you, so you get like three random words, which is kind of fun, like running rabbit carrot. You'll never get three that are that closely related, but dot code.
I think we throw an adjective in there.
I screwed
just,
it up.
Just saying. Yeah. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
Something. You'll get that, and then you just can click it immediately, and your website is right there. And that's kind of like locked in time, which is nice. It makes this kind of a shareable thing. You don't have to think like, oh, does this really need to be a website? It can just be like, I want to share it as kind of like a full, I don't care that people see that I made this thing on CodePen. It's just this demo that I made. That's a great way to do it, and especially because you know that it will just be exactly like that, which was kind of never true with a pen before. You could share it, and then this would happen to me. I'd be like, oh, but I need to like fix this thing, or I break something or something. And then if somebody clicks the link, they're seeing my temporarily broken demo, and I'm like, wait, I'm fixing it. That right. wouldn't be the problem with a deployed site. But it, you know, so the idea isn't like, it's not as big of a deal as like, I am declaring this to be my internet home or something. It's like, no, it just gives you a URL to the built version of it. That could be very low importance or extremely high importance to you. You can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, I mean, you can even link it to a domain, right? Like a real domain, a custom domain.
Yeah, well, that's the real power of it, is that you could literally buy a domain name. It could be a subdomain of a domain you already have, or a real domain. I guess they're all real domains, but an Apex domain. It feels like such a, I had to type that word too much for a couple of months there, but it just means like codepen.io, like just the top level one, you know? And if that's the case, you just point a couple of DNSA records at us. We give you the IPs to point to, and now that domain is served by CodePen. So we can be your web host. That could be your personal website. It could be a portfolio for you. I got about 15 of them probably, which I guess makes sense. But here's one I bought for my buddy. He's this fiddle player and contractor guy named Darren, and he wanted to start making tree houses here in Bend. So I buy bentreehouses.com for him, just because he's not really a tech guy. So I go on GoDaddy.
Crazy, that wasn't taken already.
No, Bend Treehouses, rock and roll. And it's the perfect town for tree houses. There's trees everywhere. Bunch of people that are treehouse buying kind of people, you know? And I just put up a simple website that just has got his phone number on it and talks about how he works with treehouses or whatever. We don't even have a lot of photos on it because it's like a new business idea. Yesterday, he sells one.
Wow. So
there you go.
Yeah.
You got a thing. You met with the people. They want certain this and this out of their treehouse and rock and roll. BendTreehouses.com, hosted by CodePen. Pretty cool.
Do you have an affiliate link or like?
We get a cut of every treehouse built.
Yeah, yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Things are looking up around here. So I don't know. You can just, I'm just so excited about it, especially internally knowing that the ability to make really full-blown websites just nothing but grows on CodePen, and are already seeing it for cool stuff, and it's just going to get better and better. And you know what makes it all possible? Versions. Right. You know, because we point a deployed site at a version.
Wow. You just brought that full circle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of my favorite parts about that is that you're not limited to the number of deployed pens. You can deploy all of them or none of them, and I find that to be amazing. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we don't run out of words to combine, but that'll be a good problem to have, and we can deal with that.
Oh yeah, the random words. Yeah, that'll be a good day when we have that problem.
I didn't actually calculate how many possible
words. We're going to start using new ones.
Words. If you really hate words,
I'm going to invent words.
I mean, don't abuse this, people, but if you undeploy and redeploy, you do get three new words. Just, well, you know.
You know what? I mean, honestly, feel free to abuse that. If that's your thing, go for it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Not going to hurt
our feelings. It doesn't really cost us anything other than random words. I don't know. I just have to tell the dumbest story of my life. But I remember debating, you know, because it's like, what's more important, versions or deployment? And I'm like on team deployment, but deployment can't exist without versions. So how can I possibly win that debate, you know?
Yeah.
It was like in debate club in like sixth grade. And I debated against this lady where she had the atomic bomb and I had electricity. And I was incredulous during debate club because I was like, you think the atomic bomb works without electricity? How do you think it goes off? How do you think we guide where it's going? It's irrelevant. You can't possibly argue this. Obviously, electricity is more important. Do you think they designed the atomic bomb by candlelight? Anyway, obviously, electricity is more important. I hope you remember that, Susie, or whoever you were.
Susie got dunked on. You dropped a bomb on her with that argument.
Oh, I should have used that. Oh, yeah. Incredible.
Yep.
Okay. Rach is up last with another surprise one that you know what? I couldn't have possibly guessed this, but I think you might
would have
right,
never guessed Rach. It myself.
Yeah. Well, when we were deciding, you know, when we were like choosing favorites, I was like, multiple files. It's probably a big one, but I'm like, it's kind of boring. Like, it's like, okay, guys, you get... Like, you get multiple files now, more than three files. That's sick, obviously. But it's also just kind of like, we're just so used to it. Like, now, like, as being part of the new pen experience. So I was, like, trying to think of something else really cool that maybe people, like, aren't across yet or unaware of. And one new feature we have, which is free, like, you don't have to be pro to do this. It's available to everyone, is the default template, which is... you may have used template pens on CodePen before, or maybe you haven't. But anyway, the idea is that you make a pen and you make it just how you like, and then you can set that to be a template. And then you can use that to create new pens with that starting point. But with 2.0, we have this concept of the default template, which means any new pen you create will use this default template. And it's just so, so useful because, like, in the classic editor, we used to have, like, default settings, I guess, where you could say, oh, I want every pen I create to start with SAS, for example. Like, you could choose your processes, and there are, I think, maybe a couple options for, like, whether you want prefix-free or not, these sort of, like, little add-on features. But what's awesome about these default pens is, yes, like you can have your SAS block if you want it. You can have, say, all your pens, you're always using React with TypeScript and, you know, you've got like this little setup that you always use. You can just add all those blocks to your default pen and then every pen you start from there, like, has those blocks and those settings. But you can also add boilerplate. Like, you can add, say you have like a CSS reset you always use, you have your own custom one or whatever, and you can just put that in the pen and then it's already there ready to go. Or maybe like you'll always like your pens to have a certain file structure, like you like to have, you know, you like to have an index and another file, and you like your JavaScript files named a certain way instead of the defaults we use. Like you could start your pens with all that set up. So it just saves you so much time with start a new pen. And also the time to change your default pen is really quick too. So you could have multiple default pen templates ready to go. And then all you have to do to change your default template is go to that pen, go to the pen settings and say, oh, make this pen the default template. That takes like a couple of seconds. And now all your new pens will have those like start in that state. It's just so helpful. Like my son started learning JavaScript, and he's just doing, because he found my Daniel Schiffman book, and then he watched some coding train videos, and he was really into like Daniel, of course, because he's incredible, but like also just P5 and using P5. So started learning P5, and so I have his default template set up to, like, just start with like P5 included. Yeah, it's actually a classic block. And then P5 in the resources, like the JavaScript resources. Mm-hmm. And then just like the P5 boilerplate, which is like you always have a setup function, always have a draw function. So I put that in. And now every time he starts a pen, he's ready to go with P5. And it's just that is so cool. I just think it's so helpful.
Yeah,
and
it's the best. It's
such an upgrade on what, you know, the default pen settings were in the classic editor. I think this is just so much better.
Yeah, I always forget, like, how to connect a React app, like, all the boilerplate, like, you have to create a div and then give it an ID of, like, app and then all that stuff. So it's, like, really nice.
Yeah, all of front end now just has so much boilerplate involved, I feel like. Every time you use anything, there's boilerplate that you have to, you know, add. And who wants to add that every time? No one. So you get your default template set up, you're sweet. You don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah, the fact that you can have code in there and your settings on, it's so great. It's like, it also makes me angry that it's like, obviously that's how you should do it. Like, why didn't we do it like that to begin with?
It was such a debate for a long time, trying to figure out, like, so, you know, having full HTML in a pen was a brand new thing in the 2.0 editor. So, you know, people are going to have to adjust to that. But we set up a classic block that lets kind of remove all of that. But without the default templates, like, that, you know, that's an extra step they have to take every time.
Yeah, having to add that block every time.
And all your preprocessors, Markdown or, you know, Sass, whatever. Like, if you want to start with that, default template is the way to go. It just makes it so easy.
Yeah, I think humans are creatures of habit. And I feel like we have a lot of prolific creators on CodePen who do have their setup. You know, they like classic mode. So a lot of them probably would use that classic block all the time. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they like Sass, they like Pug, and that, like, that's, they want those things. So it's just, they can have that set up.
You can all the time. And, you know, regular templates are still there too. And we're tried to help you for the first time, Team CodePen's providing a whole bunch of, like, you know, if Alex is like, can't remember how to wire up React, like, you don't have to figure that out and then go make a template of your own. You can just grab ours. You can also make a default template somebody else's template, just like a weird twist. But if you like theirs, just be like, oh, I'll steal that. You don't even have to fork it. You can just make it yours. Pretty cool. Templates are great. Just a quicker way to get started. That's it. That's all five of us. Those are our favorite features. There are way more features than that, but those are our favorites. And I guess we'll see
Sound
you
off
next
in the comments with your
more.
Favorite.
I don't think comments are even enabled for this thing. But
just talk back to your podcast app.
Yeah, just say it loudly. Tell your friends. Yeah. All right. See you later.
Bye, y'all.